There is an old Jewish tradition about how to read the scriptures, the Torah, you know, the Tanakh. You start with the Torah, and you pierce a text. You enter into what it really is talking about. You come in touch with the reality that it's talking about. Then you move on to the Nevi'im, to the prophets, and you find a text that in another way is saying the same thing. And then you move on to the Ketuvim, to the writings, and you find another text. And they call that stringing pearls. You see, you pierce the pearls and you string them. It's called Haritza. Now, the heart of that is a very intense prayer. It's not a game. You see, it's not matching words with words. It's experiencing the reality under different aspects. Today, the church does that a bit for us. Huh? As I already mentioned, here we are, the Saturday of the second week of Lent. We've had how many texts, you know, pointing out our sin to us, which is a mercy. You know, we just as soon ignore it. Lack of forgiveness, caught up in worldly things, judging. I mean, how many of our sins has the church pointed out to us using the Holy Word of God? And we're getting tired. Every day, whacked again. Well, we need it. But now today, let's see what's behind all that. The mercy of God. And so we have this first reading from the prophet Micah. It's probably a liturgy of return. Who is there like you? The God who removes guilt. Now suppose we were to take that, huh? Who is like you? The God who removes guilt. That's a pleasing thought. That's a consoling image. But what about the reality? You see how that's surface? You know, you forgive sins and you're real nice and I'm real happy about that and what do we got for breakfast? You see, do we do what those old rabbis did? Do we pierce the text? What does it mean to remove guilt? Who can do that? Think about it. Guilt means I have offended God, and God is God. Nobody can remove that but God. Nobody. And that is who he is by definition. The God who removes guilt. You know that other lovely text we have, the sort of the Lord God's description of himself, Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum. God, God. The merciful God. That's who he is. Now how do we penetrate that? You get your rosary and you start. And you say, I am going to meditate on the mercy of God. I'm going to meditate on this gospel. I'm going to stand there or kneel there or sit there with Our Lady. And I'm going to say, open up my poor mind. I'm tired of talking about this stuff. I want to know it. I want to pierce these texts. I want to know God. You see the difference? One, after a while, we get tired. Enough consoling thoughts. Enough, you know. No, we got to go through them. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The church lives by the Holy Spirit. Now, and we got, you know, you can't miss with the text we have today. We have the psalm, which is on forgiveness. Huh? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, all he's done for you. What's he done? He's pardoned all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. Again, moving words, consoling words, nice images. We feel happy. But what about the reality? Touched by this. A curé of ours once said, you know, don't ask God to show you your true state before him. I did. I nearly went crazy. First, just to experience that I exist by his free will. I experience it. We're all willing, you know, we all believe in God the Creator. But experience it. What does it mean to experience being held in existence by the pure free will of God? I got nothing to do about that. There's no way I can hold myself in existence. That's just for starters. And then all the ways I have offended him, all the ways I haven't paid attention to him, and to experience, that's what the curé, and he said, no, let the Lord show you that when you're ready. I asked him, and he kind of anticipated, and I nearly went nuts. And that was a pretty holy fella. Imagine what would happen to us. But the Lord is inviting us. Come my way into this. And you will be touched by such an ineffable reality, you'll change. Which is the whole point. And so, in that same mercy, the Son of God tells us this story. We all know the story. You could recite it practically. You could give the drift of it for sure. Why is he telling us this story, huh? He's trying to give us a sense of who the Father is. He's trying to give us a sense, as Pope John Paul II points out in his, I think it's in the encyclical on mercy, how Jewish this is. God is our Father, and therefore he will honor all his responsibilities to us. That's justice. That's justice. Military justice, you did it, you get it. And I guess that's the way you got to run the army. And you go too fast, you get a ticket. Justice. And that's right, that's justice. But justice is honoring the truth of every relationship. And so God looks on us, and the truth is, he created us. The truth is, he loves us. The truth is, we have been stamped by the body and blood of his Son. That's the truth. And he honors that truth. You see how his justice is his mercy. And so the Son comes back. I mean, it would take us, as you know, till supper time. This is such, the Son of God himself, using human language, is trying to get across to us a reality that on one level, he's inviting us, come, pierce my words, string them, get in there, touch it. Just don't recite the words and go home happy, because an hour from now, you'll burn the toast and you'll be in a mood. You know, pierce it. Do you know, I think a lot about St. Francis. He prayed all night, every time before he preached. Now, what was he doing? I mean, surely he knows the text. It doesn't take all night to read it. What was he doing? He was trying to open up his spirit and yield to the Holy Spirit so that the reality that that text is talking about pierces his spirit. And he talks about the reality under the aegis of the words, but it's the reality he preached to those people. not an explanation of the text, if you know what I'm trying to say. The Lord's inviting us to do that. And we can start one easy way, is to start by forgiving each other. It's a start. Honor the truth of every relationship that you have, which is that the other one has a right to your mercy, even though it's mercy. I mean, here's this kid. He says to his dad, in effect, I wish you were dead, because I want my part of the inheritance. So, I wish you were dead. But if you're not dead, at least give me what's mine, I'm going to split. That's how he starts. I remember I got that far once, talking to two Muslim boys in Israel. I've told you this before, I think, right? This man had two sons, and the younger one said, give me my inheritance. And the other one said, and one of the kids said, his brother should have killed him on the spot. Imagine talking to your father like that. Two Muslims. I could pronounce that in this poor beat-up culture to 1,000 Christians, and not one of them would get it. You see what mercy we need? I'm not going to go through the whole text, because even I have something to do. But ponder it. Pierce it. His father sees him a long way off, and he runs to him. He doesn't sit on the porch and say, I wonder what this kid's up to, which is the way the son treated him. He honors the truth. He is my son. He runs out and hugs him and gives him all the signs that he's a son again. Remember, the son is coming back not to be a son, to be a hired hand, not a household servant. One of those guys who waits out there in the parking lot to get hired every day. Then they big fight about whether poor guys can stay in the parking lot. But that's what just give me a break. Let me work. Let me hang around the parking lot and get hired every day and pay me, and that'll be great. And I'll have something to eat. The father says, give him a ring. Put shoes on his feet. Give him the best robe. All the signs of a son. Now let's have a party. Can you imagine? Now God is infinite and he never gets tired. If all 6 billion of us had a conversion today, and all 6 billion of us went back to God like that, he would have a party for each one of us. It would not tire him out at all. So pray today. This is one of these little watersheds in Lent. Many of the texts now are going to try to open up for us the heart of that mercy, which is the truth of the relationship. The human race has offended God, and it must be repaired. And so who repairs it? God himself.